this is the part where I would usually say congratulations on getting through 9-5. I mean, I still feel that way, but man, be safe out there. I'm looking at some of the videos and the tweets and what people are saying. It looked bad out there. Rob, did you see the video of I-35 and people trying to drive home and all that standing water? It don't look good out there.
There's a rhyme or like a saying, but basically, if there's standing water, don't drive through it. I don't know the saying. Someone on the text line will tell me the saying. There's some cutesy little slang term, like, if it's this, but if you see standing water, don't drive through it. Well, bad things always happen when that happens.
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I saw. I want everybody to be safe. We still got another hour here. We'll hopefully get you home safely, and then we plan on driving out in this, but it doesn't look as bad now as it did, 30, 45 minutes ago. It was bad. Around 4 o'clock, it was hailing. It looked real dark outside. It doesn't look fun to be outside today, so hopefully you guys are safe out there. We got a lot to get into in today's show. I'm appreciative of you guys listening. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here taking you up until 6 o'clock. There is no NBA playoff game today. There is no NHL playoff game today. So you got a little bit of free time when you get home, maybe eat a little bit, maybe watch a show with the lady. And then tonight, the Royals are actually on the West Coast. They're playing the San Francisco Giants. So if you want to watch the Royals later today, I believe first pitch is, 8:45 our time. So a little bit late start for the Royals if you want to check them out. I got a chance to go out to Kauffman Stadium on Saturday and Sunday. We'll talk about that here coming up in just a bit. This is where I would like to start. This is where I'm at. I made this analogy earlier, and I'll make it for those of you that missed the analogy. I would say I was a pretty decent student. I don't want to make it seem like I was the smartest kid in the world, but I was a good student. I liked social studies. I was okay at math. I was all right. I was really bad at science. I don't know why I was really bad at science. I just was really bad at it. But I came to a crossroad when I was trying to go back to school. I had to take an engineering class, a physics class, in order for me to graduate. I had to hire a tutor in order for me to pass this class. Shout out to my friend Matt. I paid Matt to come over every Saturday and we would go over the coursework so I could get my college degree. I had to get a tutor at some point. Maybe some of you are in the same exact spot with your kid. Your kid is a pretty decent student, but there is just one area that he struggles in. Well, now it is your fault as your parent. Now it is your responsibility to help your kid get to where he needs to be academically. Go hire him a tutor or encourage and push him in the direction to go get it. The reason I'm telling you all of this is we've seen enough Royals baseball to know what subjects they're really good at and what they struggle in. The Royals have the second best ERA in all of baseball. The Royals pitching staff is great. The Royals don't have Seth Lugo or Cole Reagans for the next 2 weeks or so. I am not worried. Noah Cameron has been great so far in his two starts. You still got Michael Wacha. You still got Lorenzen. You still have enough pitching to get through the next couple of weeks that you'll be fine. Their offense is a problem. I don't care what their record is. I don't care how many games in a row they won 2 weeks ago. I have seen the Royals against enough good teams, against enough good pitchers to know that this team does not score consistently. So you and I can continue to point out what the problem is, or we can simply advise them to go get a tutor. They need help. They are not going to get an A with the current offense that they have. Sure, you can still get a decent grade point average if you're bad at one subject, but you're good at all the other ones. Yes, the Royals could get a C- offensively and an A in everything else. And yes, you will still graduate. Yes, you will still get a good job. You can't be the valedictorian that way. You can't. So with the Royals, it's simple to me. They have a problem offensively. We all see what the problem is. They have to do something about their problem. So whether that is calling up Jack Caglione here in the next 30, 45 days or so, whether that is them making a significant trade to go get a bat in their lineup, I don't know why we have to keep denying this about the Royals. We have seen 2 months of Royals baseball. They were like this in October last year. They were like this in September. They do not score consistently. So go get help. There's no shame in needing a tutor. I needed a tutor. I would not have graduated if I didn't hire a tutor. Maybe you needed a tutor. Maybe you wouldn't have got a good score on the SAT or ACT or whatever you needed. Admitting you need help is not a problem. Denying that you need help and continuing to fail is the problem. So if the Royals are just going to sit on their hands with their offense, then we'll keep doing this every week. We wanted to see how the Royals looked against good competition, right? The Royals did exactly what they were supposed to do. They beat up on the White Sox. They beat up on the Rockies. They beat up on the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, this was a good 9-game stretch. They played 3 potential playoff teams. They didn't score against any of them. They lost all 3 series. At this point, we just got enough information to know what the Royals are and what they're not. The Royals are really good at some subjects. I mean, maybe the best at some of the subjects. They struggle to score consistently. And as long as the Royals continue to not be able to score 4 runs consistently, you will have more weekends like the one we just had. They will have more stretches like the one they just got out of, where they didn't score against the Red Sox, they didn't score against the Astros, they didn't score against the Cardinals. This series was winnable. This series was winnable. They could have won on Saturday. They didn't score at all. They lost 1-0 in a game that took 1 hour and 42 minutes. You couldn't scratch across 1 run. I sat there yesterday. I went to both games. I went to Saturday and Sunday. The Royals had a runner on 1st and 2nd with no out. They didn't get anybody to 3rd base in the inning. I'm sitting there scratching my head. How did this happen? What am I watching? I don't want to continue to beat a dead horse. I really don't. And I'm not even looking at the text line. Well, look at their record. Okay, that's fine. We can continue to deny what we're watching and continue to deny what we're seeing. And yes, the Royals might sweep this series against the Giants. Oh, see, look, they told you. I've seen enough. We're a week away from Memorial Day. The offense has been a problem every day of the season. They've played almost 50 games now at this point. When are we going to wake up and say, hey, maybe it's time to go get a left fielder. Maybe it's time to go get a right fielder. Maybe it's time to do something about second base. I'm at that point. So I know that they're not trading anybody right now, but I am all for any idea. I'm for a lineup change. I am for making another stand the same way you did with MJ Melendez and sending somebody down or DFAing somebody the same way you just did with Stratton a couple days ago at $8 to $4 million. They cannot continue to trot this offense out there. Now, earlier, you might have missed it. Rob was being a little noncommittal. Now, Rob's my dog. He knows that. I love Rob with all my heart. I asked Rob a very important question. Where are you at with Salvador Perez? I only bring that up. It is noticeable, the decline in Salvador Perez. If you look at where he was at this time last year, the exact same time frame, they played the exact same number of games at this date last year. He was hitting .330. He had 8 home runs. He had more RBIs, had a higher on-base percentage. Salvador Perez was really, really good last year through 45 games. Here, I got the exact numbers for you. He had 8 home runs and 37 RBIs. He was hitting .337 with a .402 on-base percentage and was slugging .548. You know what? Salvi was good last year. No questions about it at all. Salvi was really good last year. Let's fast forward to this season. We are 45 games in. Salvador Perez has 2 home runs in 186 plate appearances. He has 21 RBIs. He is hitting .223 with an on-base percentage of .259. I love Salvi the way that all of you love Salvador Perez. And I'm not ready to call it one way or the other. We had Denny Matthews on the show. Denny said give him until June 20. I'm going to listen. I'm going to respect my elders. And I'm going to give Salvador Perez until June 20th. But I'm telling you right now that a major problem of their offense, yes, is Hunter Renfro. And the fact that they keep putting him out there, even though we are at Memorial Day and he's hitting less than .200. It's time for them to make a decision. We can't continue to trot you out there. Another major problem with their offense is Salvador Perez and Vinny Pasquantino. That this offense works when you're going to get contribution from Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino. Bobby continues to do his part. He is one of the three best baseball players in the world, no question. He is another all-star. He's in the MVP conversation, and he will be there for the foreseeable future. Vinny's not doing his part. Salvi's not doing his part. And that is a major reason why right now they're 28th in offense. They're 28th in offense. The only teams that the Royals have scored more runs than this season are the White Sox, Rockies, and Pirates. Two of those teams have already fired their manager. Those teams are bad, really bad baseball teams. There's enough talent there for the Royals. No one's saying they got to be top five. There is enough talent for the Royals to be middle of the pack offensively. They were middle of the pack. In fact, they were better than that on July 31st in the middle of August. And they have never recovered from the Vinny Pasquantino injury last year. They have been a drastically different offense since then. This is not sustainable. Well, this is not sustainable if you plan on winning something lasting and meaningful. The Royals can continue to be good this way and continue to keep us entertained and get you out to the park. And yes, they can do all of those things. If you want to win the division, they can't with the 28th ranked offense. If you want to be a dangerous team that nobody wants to see in the postseason, you cannot do that with the 28th ranked offense. They are going to need to do something. More so, they are going to need Salvador Perez to be a lot better than he's been so far through the first 50 games of the season.
I want to know what term you used to describe Travis Kelce coming in to last season, because I will use that term for Salvador Perez. Now, I know, despite the fact there are other shows in the station and listeners and text line that think you called him washed, you never called Travis Kelce washed. Diminishing might have been the term. That's fine. Whatever that term is, I think we now have to apply it to Salvador Perez. I don't know that means that we should cut him. I don't think that means that they should, you know, be looking at this offseason aggressively at a catch. I'm not saying he's done, never play him, but I think whatever term you're using for Travis Kelce has to apply to Salvador Perez. His offensive numbers this year are the legitimate worst of his baseball career. And it's not like he's played a short career and suddenly the league figured him out. He's been in baseball for what, 12, 13 years now?
This is Salvi's 14th season.
I mean, he's still swinging at the same slider that's nowhere near the zone. That's not new. But what is new is that his OPS is 591. That's terrible. He's a career 700 OPS guy. So that's a noticeable drop. Right now, if you are a sabermetrician and you're a big, hey, I believe in war, wins above replacement, Salvador Perez last year was a two-and-a-half win player.
He's a negative player right now.
He's a negative player right now. He is hurting you by being on the field, which is a larger problem is that the Royals' offense is all negative war offensively, but that's neither here nor there. I would think you got to treat Salvi the way you treat Travis Kelce coming in 2025 or for football. He can't be the focal point. He can't be the lead target guy. He can't be the guy you were relying on to make the offense go. Salvador Perez being penciled in the lineup every day in the four spot is hurting you. And I know they don't have another four hitter just sitting on the bench ready to go. It's not like, hey, if you move Salvi out of the four spot, Mark Canna jumps in there and he becomes Barry Bonds. I get it. There are no good options, but having a guy whose OPS in the 500s bat four every day and whose power is noticeably diminished and who is not putting the ball over the wall at all, batting four every day is not good for you. I think you got to add a bat first and foremost.
But I think they need two. I think they need Jack Caglione and someone else.
I think they need two plus Jack Caglione. Yeah. And when those plus two come up here,
I'm certainly not going to fight you on that take.
When they get the plus two up here, Salvador Perez can't be your four hitter. If they trade for, I don't know, a generic Oriole, let's just say the Orioles stink, they trade one of their outfielders to the Royals. That guy should be batting ahead of Salvador Perez in the lineup. He just should. I don't think he's washed. I don't think he's cooked. I don't think he's done. I think the diminish is noticeable. And I think the Royals need to adjust their lineup according to his diminishing.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, if Salvi wants to get to the Hall of Fame, that requires a couple more seasons to even have a chance. To do both, Salvi has to improve his fitness. Salvador Perez has been playing baseball for 14 years. If you're telling me that he still needs a couple more seasons to get to where he wants to go, then it's over. Respectfully, it's over. And I think Salvi's a Hall of Famer right now. He's 35 years old. If you're telling me that Salvi needs to play until he's 38 and 39 to make the Hall of Fame, then he ain't making it then. That part is over then. I mean, I think his resume right now is enough. He's a 9-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glover. He was arguably the best player on a team that won the World Series, and he won World Series MVP. He also won Silver Slugger 5 times. He might be one of the 3 best catchers of his era. I think that Salvi is already there. If the hope is that Salvi needs to continue to be what he was 3 years ago for 3 more seasons, then we've lost that conversation. The thing that I think you are hoping with Salvi is, can he get back to what he's been post-COVID? Now, 2021, I don't know what happened. Salvador Perez in 2021 hit 48 home runs and had 121 RBIs. I don't think that's Salvador Perez. And I'm not saying anything funny was happening. I'm just saying is we've seen enough Salvi baseball. Before that season, his career high was 27 in home runs, and then he hit 48 home runs. He had never had 100 RBIs. He then had 121 RBIs. I don't know what Salvi was doing in 2021, but he was amazing in 2021. Since then, so 2022 through 2024, he has been a guy that you could rely on to hit 260 with 24 home runs and 90 RBIs and hit 24 doubles. If he can be that player, the Royals have a chance to turn around their offense. Because, Rob, you and I are talking about the Royals adding a bat. They got a bat. They got 2 bats on their lineup they can add. Salvador Perez and Vinny Pasquantino. They have not had Salvi's offense this year. Not if you're hitting 230 with no pop. So 2 of those bats you're talking about could come from internal options and guys just simply playing better. Now, I still think they need to go out there and make a move, and we can talk about Jack Caglione. We'll make him hit number 1. But again, you can be mad at Hunter Renfroe. Hunter Renfroe has a -1.5 WAR. He has been bad for you. No question about it. MJ Melendez was bad, and they eventually had to get him out of their lineup. The fact that right now their main 3 producers, which are Salvi, Witt, and Vinny Pasquantino, the fact that only one of them is close to living up their expectations has been a major, major problem with their offense. Earlier today on the show, we had Dan Hawkins. He is the Speaker of the House for the state of Kansas. We'll play the best of that if you missed what he had to say. But Rob, let's keep talking to Royals baseball. Let's talk about Jack Caglione. They got the call up from AA.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for The Hits. Number 1.
CDOT, The Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, as you said there, Carrington, the big non-on-the-field news swirls for the weekend is Jack Caglione. Their top prospect is going up, but not all the way up. He is headed from Northwest Arkansas AA to AAA Omaha after absolutely dominating the level. Carrington, what is a fair and reasonable timeline for Royals fans to expect to see Jack at the major league level? Because as we continue to talk about the, I'll say meddling to be bad, middling offense, people's names.
They're ranked 28th. It ain't meddling.
Stinky offense.
Tragic is what it is.
Just absolutely horrific. A name that keeps popping up is Jack Caglione, but he is now headed to Omaha. What's a fair and realistic timeline that you think you could see the top prospect at the K?
I think the earliest we would see Jack Caglione is after the All-Star break. I do think at some point this season he will be here. Now, let's use Bobby Witt as a guideline. I understand the differences in the two. I get it. Bobby Witt Jr. did not go to college. Jack Caglione did. So in some ways, Jack is ahead of his development in that way. Bobby Witt Jr. played 61 games in Northwest Arkansas. Played 61 games. Jack Caglione played 38 games in Northwest Arkansas. He wasn't there 2 months. In that time, he hit .322 with a .400 on-base percentage. He had 9 home runs in 38 games and leads their league in RBIs with 43. In 152 ABs, he was really good while he was there. And I understand what the Royals are thinking. Hey, there's not really much of a reason for him to be down here. He's shown us that he can hit consistently at this level. Let's now move him up to AAA. You're going up against far more players who have had major league experience, older guys who are maybe there on a rehab start. This is a closer replication to what you're going to see at the major league level. Bobby Witt Jr. was there for 63 games. So let's just say the same way that Jack was in the minors in AA for half the time that Bobby was there for 61 games. Jack was there for 38 games. If you were going off Bobby Witt playing 63 games in Omaha, that puts Jack at, let's say, 35 to 40 games. 35 to 40 feels like a rough estimate if you're basing it off what Bobby Witt Jr. did. Now, Bobby Witt was really good when he was in AAA. He had 17 home runs, 46 RBIs. He stole 15 bases. He hit 285 and had a 350 on base percentage. He was really, really good in Omaha at 21 years old. He got called up at 22 and has been one of the five best players in baseball for the last three seasons. So what does that mean for Jack Caglione? If I had to guess, if you are giving me a timetable right now, and I haven't looked at the Royals schedule because you might tell me, oh, that's a Tuesday day game. I think he comes up somewhere around August 1st. Whether it's a little bit before or a little bit after. After or right before the trade deadline, which I don't think the Royals are going to be a team that waits till the final hour. So the Royals have kind of made their trade. Let's say they make their trade on July 25th. And now the Royals are trying to try it out here. Here is what our team that's going to be that goes to try to win the American League Central. We got a new right fielder. We got Jack Caglione in left field. August 1, this is the new look Royals. That's what I think the plan is. So put me somewhere around August 1. Based on what we just saw him do in Northwest Arkansas, I'm going to envision that that continues in Omaha. And if you got him hitting 290 with a 360 on base percentage, he's showing you great pop, he's driving in runs, he ain't staying down 90 more days. He will be on this team sooner rather than later. They need him potentially on this team sooner rather than later. They need something offensively. Right now, it's like a marriage that doesn't have a spark. Hey, you got to plan something. You got to bring home some flowers. You got to go plan a nice dinner. You got to book a dinner reservation. You got to add some spark to your offense. It looks and appears lifeless right now. Jack could be that spark. He could be that spark for the offense. So put me down for somewhere around August 1 is when we'll see him.
I think what you said there about the Royals making a trade before adding him is 1,000% correct. Like, if he does the same thing in AAA he did in AA, which I'm looking at his numbers written on the office whiteboard here, they're incredible. But it's just they haven't done anything to the offense at the major league level. I don't think they're bringing Jack up as a magic cure-all, come be the savior of the offense. I think they want to make a Cedric Mullins type of move. I think they want to make a insert another player type of move before bringing Jack up. Because I think the Royals want to bring Jack up this year in the same timeline you laid out, but I don't think they want Jack coming up to hit four. I think they want Jack coming up to be the seven hitter and kind of get his feet wet and ease into the league, as opposed to being coming up and viewing as, okay, you're the savior of the offense. I think they want to make a move before him, which also affects the timeline.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, his hitting doesn't matter if he doesn't have a place to play in the field. If Jack is the player that we think he is, there's not many players on the Royals that you are blocking for Jack Caglione. Find him somewhere. I think right now, if he had to play, he plays in either left or right field. There is not a player. First base is not locked up. Second base is not locked up right now. The corner outfield spots, him being blocked or them not having room for him is not a reason right now when you're 28th in offense, we'll figure it out. We'll find room for you. We're trying to do anything to desperately jumpstart this offense. And maybe it's him. Maybe it's Jack Caglione hitting sixth for this team. And then you go out and you make a trade. And 45 days from now, 50 days from now, we look at the Royals lineup and they are in a drastically different position because they've added two impact bats to it. So the Royals have problems, I think, on two ends. The lower half of their lineup is a desert in a lot of ways. I also think that that top part, those three, four hitters, you need more from Vinny. You need more from Salvador Perez to help turn things around. Earlier today, we had the Speaker of the House in Kansas join us on the show. He's very optimistic about Kansas' chances to lure the Chiefs and the Royals. We'll play it for you next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Earlier in the show, we had the state rep for Kansas, Dan Hawkins, join us on the show. He is the Speaker of the House. He is very optimistic about the Royals and Chiefs moving over to the Kansas side. We started our conversation with, what is your involvement in these discussions?
So it's actually a whole part of our Commerce Department. And in the legislature, we certainly have a Commerce Committee, and our job is to try to bring as much business as we can to Kansas. And certainly last year it became evident that the Royals and the Chiefs were both looking, and that there was certainly a possibility that if things didn't go right, that they could leave the Kansas City area. And so our mission has always been able to give them another option to where we keep both teams in the Kansas City area. If they stay on the Missouri side, that's great. They're not leaving. But if things don't work out, and it doesn't appear that they are working out very well on the Missouri side, we certainly want to do everything we can. And so last year, we have a deal called Star Bonds, and we use those on various things. And probably the most high-profile thing was the Speedway many years ago. That's actually where Star Bonds were developed. And basically the idea behind that is to set up a Star Bond district where there's really nothing there, bring business in there, bring a development around that business, and then use the sales tax from that to pay the Star Bonds. And so we just took our Star Bond and applied it to two major league sports teams and basically gave them a tool, gave our Commerce Department a tool to be able to negotiate with those teams to bring them to Kansas using the Star Bonds as that tool. So our job as a part of that was certainly to pass the legislation to make it happen, which we did last year. And then secondly, the Legislative Coordinating Council, we call it the LCC, is the part of the legislature that operates during the time when the legislature isn't in session. It's made up of both House and Senate members, the four leaders on the House side and the four leaders on the Senate side. And ultimately, if they bring us a proposal from those teams, we will evaluate that and decide, you know, if it's good for Kansas. And if it's good for Kansas and the teams, we hope it works out very well.
Right now, we're talking to Dan Hawkins. He is the Speaker of the House in the state of Kansas, talking about the pursuit for Kansas to try to have the Chiefs and the Royals. Dan, as much as you can tell us, how are the conversations going between the state of Kansas and the Chiefs and the Royals?
Well, I think number one, we're kind of coming down to the end, so things are moving along pretty fast. You know, it kind of started off a little slow. It seemed like when it started off that the Royals were certainly moving in the right direction, and we didn't hear a whole lot from the Chiefs. And so I really anticipate hearing something on the Royals very soon. Now, in the last 3 months, 4 months, the Chiefs has picked up their pace. And I know they've been in discussion, in many, many rounds of discussion with the Commerce Department. As far as knowing exactly where they're at, we don't. And there's a reason for that. Everything has to be kind of kept private until such time as they can come out with a good proposal. But we expect that to happen. We have about 5.5 weeks, 6 weeks left before the end of that time for the Star Bonds to be used, and we really expect to get one or possibly even two proposals in, and we're going to evaluate them, and hopefully we're going to get them done and across the line.
Dan, you say moving quickly. Are you close, or at least anticipating that we are close to an announcement? When you say moving fast and getting close to it, what are we getting close to?
Well, I think we're getting close to the Commerce Department finishing their work on receiving the proposal from a team, evaluating that, countering with whatever kind of counter there is, and then putting it in written format and bringing it to the LCC. That's what I say is, I think that the Commerce Department is getting close to being able to bring a proposal to the Legislative Coordinating Council for us to evaluate, and I feel that. I just feel the urgency out there. The things are moving. I hear about it. I don't hear individual details. I just know things are moving along pretty quick. And I think we'll probably have something here in the next 2 weeks or so.
Dan, do you get a sense that Kansas is interested in both teams? Are they interested in just one of the two teams? And I guess as a secondary question, can Kansas, from a financial standpoint, support building a new stadium for two professional teams simultaneously?
Well, first off, you have to realize that Kansas is not building the stadiums. The Starbond district, where it's located, is going to support the stadium. So all we're doing is providing the tool. So Starbonds is simply a bond that is sold to investors, and those invest that money coming from the investors will actually be what pays for building a stadium. And then the sales tax developed in that Starbond district, however big that is, as businesses come into that, that sales tax will be dedicated to paying those Starbonds. So Kansas itself is not building a stadium. We have no desire to own a stadium or build a stadium. We are just giving them the tool to make it happen. Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense here. So essentially to me, and I'm coming at it, I'm learning as we're having this conversation, it seems like it is just a major tax incentive that you are proposing to move over there, and you were going to give them the tools to then do what they want with the money. That's how it sounds to me.
Yeah, actually, let's just say we've got 1,000 acres sitting out there that's undeveloped. There's nothing being produced on that. There's no taxes coming off of it. There's nothing. A stadium's built on that, and I'm just grabbing that 1,000 acres. I don't know how much ground they'll have. It's probably not 1,000 acres, maybe only 100 acres. But a stadium will be built on that, and then a whole development around that stadium with shops and restaurants and hotels and all kinds of businesses that produce sales tax. So it's money we didn't have. The district is being built up, and the sales tax that is produced inside that district is used to pay those star bonds off over a 30-year period. And so it's truly probably one of the best ways to bring business into our state. When it comes to this type of a business, the reason why it worked so well with the Speedway, the Kansas Speedway was one of the first Starbond projects that was ever done. It was about $300 million, I believe, at the time, and it paid off 7 years early. We expect something like this to operate much the same way. They'll probably pay it off early because of the amount of sales tax that's generated in that area, and it's sales tax that we never did have anyway. So. In the end, it not only pays off that, but it provides a lot of income for the state, a lot of revenue for the state.
Right now, we're talking to State Rep Dan Hawkins. He is the Speaker of the House. Learning more about the process to try to get the teams moved over to the Kansas side. Dan, are you optimistic about the possibility of having the Chiefs or the Royals in Kansas?
I am. I would say the chance of us getting one is very good. The chance of getting both of them is probably a little bit slimmer, but it could happen. We could have both of them on the Kansas side, in the next few years. So, yeah, I think there's a really good chance that we get one. And quite frankly, I hope we get both.
Do you think Missouri can match what you guys have put together to try to entice the teams to move over there?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult for them because that Starbond is a really strong tool to use, whereas I think the state of Missouri has to just write funds out of their treasury, and that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough for them to put a lot out there. Certainly Jackson County not being able to pass a sales tax hurt them. So I actually think we're probably – I think we're in the driver's seat on this deal. I wouldn't surprise me if we get both of them. I think it's also difficult that they couldn't pass something during the legislative session. If they would have passed something during the legislative session, it may have changed the direction of things. You know, I know the governor of Missouri has talked about calling a special session in June, My thought is I've been in the legislature for 13 years. What's going to change during the special session that didn't happen during the regular session? So if they had a hard time doing it in a regular session, they're going to call a special session and do it in a day or two. or three, whatever that is, I doubt that that's probably going to change things a whole lot for them.
And that is Dan Hawkins joining us earlier on the show. If you guys missed any part of that conversation, be sure to check it out on the podcast page, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. There is no NBA tonight. There is no hockey tonight, but the Royals, they are in San Francisco. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This is usually the time where I suggest something for you guys to watch. Today, there is no NBA playoff game. There's no NHL playoff game. And the Royals game starts a little bit later. It starts at 8:45. Maybe that's a little too late for you. Maybe you're looking for something to do at 7 o'clock. Let me give you a couple of suggestions. I watched the Netflix documentary about Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden. Would highly encourage you to check that out. It's called Untold Shooting Guards on Netflix. I would encourage you to watch that. Rob, I was scanning Fire Stick Records yesterday. I just like to go on there and I just like to see what's available. You know, I might not always watch a movie on there, but I like seeing what's available. I don't know how they've done this, but they already had Thunderbolts in crispy 1080p right there at the house. They already had the new Final Destination movie. The movie just came out 3-4 days ago. They already had it in crispy 1080p right there on the television. I watched it last night. I watched the Final Destination movie right before I went to sleep. Maybe not a good idea that I watched it right before I went to sleep. But I watched it yesterday. If you're into that kind of scary movie, Final Destination, was it Bloodlines? Two thumbs up. That's what I'm giving it, a two thumbs up.
That is not the type of movie for me. It's not scary. I just don't like watching people in pain. I saw those movies when I was a kid. I can't drive behind a log truck comfortably now anymore. I can't drive behind one of those trucks that's carrying cars comfortably anymore. I'm too old to be in a movie where someone steps on glass and then they end up with their hand in a garbage disposal. No thanks. Not for me.
That's what this movie was. It was a lot of that in this movie. It was great. I loved it. Again, two thumbs up for me. Exactly. I went into it. I was expecting Final Destination. That's what I got. I got Final Destination.
Did you like Thunderbolts?
I did not watch it yet.
Oh, okay.
Both of them were on there. I'd much rather have watched the Final Destination. So I checked to see the quality for Thunderbolts because, you know,
Still Fire Stick Records.
It was great quality, and then I checked it for Final Destination, and then I watched that. I'm telling you, it was in 1080p.
You know what tonight feels like? Great night to go see Sinners. I still haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, me either. I haven't seen it yet.
You love Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler stuff. How have you lasted this long not seeing it?
Well, I think what honestly happened was, the first week that it came out, that's when I just was coughing up a storm. So I just didn't want to go. Then I got out of town. Then I got back. And you know how it is. It never came together. The NBA playoffs are on, so I don't want to miss it. And then today, I didn't even kind of realize it until it was too late that I was like, oh, wait, there's no NBA game on. There's no NHL game on today. And the Royals play late. Now's a great time to go see Sinners at 7 o'clock. Maybe that's what I go do, but I just at least wanted you guys to know that figure something out. What you're going to watch. What are you going to do, Rob?
I am going to watch The Last of Us from last night and then catch up on Andor.
Okay. All right. I am still speeding through House of Cards, so I'll let you know how it ends up because I actually don't know how it ends, so I will continue to let you know. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. So today we had a Kansas State rep on. Tomorrow we are going to have a Missouri State rep on. Who else do we have planned on for tomorrow's show?
Vern.
We got Vern in a political figure. I mean, that's The Drive. I can't really describe it any better than that. Take care of yourself. Drive home safely. It's The Drive.